Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
We're doing the catch-up podcast intro. For Wednesday, it's the 3rd of June. Where's your scar? How'd you get it? Great stories coming up. Big names in your workplace. Another belter. Nick, you've become obsessed with cycling, and you covered off some pretty amusing details from the Lance Armstrong documentary. That's all coming up in the show. How's everyone doing?
Good. I'm glad that you two were so surprised that we were doing the podcast intro, seeing as though we do it every day after every show.
Oh, wow. we've been busy.
I'm able to give it a surprise. I got some sad news for you all. This is the last day I'll have the goatee.
Oh, you're getting rid of it. Is that sad? That's happy. Cheer, Dave. Cheer. Woo. We need it.
It's become very close to me. But it's my wife's birthday and
today?
Both of us need sex. No, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
So we both need sex and that's the only way I'll get to achieve it.
Because you've had the goatee.
She is repulsed by it completely.
I'm with her, Kath. I'm with you if you listen.
So that's her gift
good,
is
awful.
shaving a
that's
little patch
birthday
of your
present.
Chin. Oh, I'll have to sprinkle it with some alcohol and then away we go. So what, tonight's your last night of scat singing and then you'll shave it off and
put the clarinet away.
I'm a scat man.
Take the fedora off.
He's back to being the rum lord.
Ah, yes. Be sad to see it go.
Well, everyone think about that tonight.
I'll bring the hair in a snap lock bag and we'll just put it on the wall.
I'd rather not, thank you.
It's the real human cost of this pandemic, Dave.
Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Nick Cody, you'll be happy to know that I finally subscribed to your podcast, Mid-Flight Brawl.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, Margo, you've got to say, big clap. Well, thank you for finally subscribing. But Mardo beat you to something in the technological realm.
Yeah.
He's been listening for a while.
I needed something to mow to.
Well, I felt peer pressure because I was like, everybody else seems to be listening to it except for me. And I don't really do podcasts, but I listen to a couple of episodes and it's good. I'm enjoying it. Give a bit of a laugh. You and Luke Heggie, obviously comedians, and so it's funny.
I get
just
annoyed
about punch-ons.
I get annoyed sometimes. You get sidetracked, but I realise that's the purpose of podcasts, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe I should have a podcast.
Come on back to the story, boys.
Maybe I should have a podcast instead of being on radio.
Great call.
I'm with you.
But I was listening and I heard you mention your beautiful wife, obviously, Lucia, and you were talking about how she got a scar after having a henna tattoo. And I was like, oh, that's brutal. And then I was like, hey, I don't have any scars. That's a pretty cool story.
Do you have any scars?
I don't have any scars. I have a chickenpox scar, but that's boring. Everybody's got them from being a child.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't necessarily the henna tattoo. She was in India with her sisters. She got a henna tattoo. She said it started to burn. She went into an old lady's shop and an old lady said, I can fix, and just poured acid onto it. And I think it was more the acid that did the burning.
Where is it on her hand?
Cool story.
On her hand. Yeah, a little acid burn.
Cool story.
That's a cool story. I mean, at the time, I'm sure it wasn't cool. It was probably quite painful and she would have been very upset and angry. But now she can look back and go, this happened to me and how cool is that?
Margo, so you're saying you've got no scars?
I have no scars.
And you're jealous of people
I'm
with
jealous.
Scars?
I'm jealous. I want a scar.
Oh, that's
like a
incredible.
Cool story. Because Corey, my husband, Mardo, I know you do. You got lots of scars. Knees. Corey had his whole shin ripped open by someone's boot. Wound was, bone. You could see blood was bubbling.
Yuck.
You're like, it's a cool story. But I don't have a cool scar story.
Have you never fallen over heavily?
No.
You've never fallen off something at high speed or out of a car or anything?
No matter. I don't make,
One of mine was a high speed one. I've got two. One I've got moved into a street when I was a kid. I was riding my bike and two of the other kids that already lived in the street almost to say, get off our turf, put a broom in the spokes of my bike and I went over the handlebars. So I've got a scar on my hip. And the other one, I've got a scar on my hand from around the same age. I froze an orange. It was summertime and I thought I'll have a frozen orange. Trying to cut it with the knife, but I was holding onto the orange like an idiot and just punctured my own hand with a knife.
Painful. The only scar I have is like, because everyone's like, oh, what about, you had babies, you've had four kids. Like women who have cesareans, they get a cool scar and they're like, I got cut open, and I'm like, I got stretch marks.
But haven't you ever walked through a plate glass window?
No, I haven't, no.
Haven't you ever shot a nail gun and the nail's gone through your thumb and out the other side?
But I wish I had you a really cool story.
Haven't you had melanoma and they had to split you open, you got about 80 stitches?
No, none of that happened. They're all your cool stories. I don't have one.
Do you want to know, Margo?
What's your scar and what's your cool scar story? How did you get it? Because I want one.
Are you asking people this question, Margot?
I want to know how I got these scars.
I want to know how I got these scars. Yeah,
you
I
want to know.
If somebody's been nailed by a
creature. I'm jealous.
If someone's been nailed by a shark, I've got a prize for them.
No.
If someone's been in a knife fight, West Side Story style.
How did you get your scar?
Matt, we won't get to you, mate, but you've been headbutted at full pace. That's not a bad start. But Jason from Browns Plains, what happened?
I was out on the Terps one night and come home and I was a bit hungry, so I heated up a meat pie and took a bite out of it and a big chunk of it went on my chest with no shirt on. And yeah, and being munted, I didn't feel it at first. And next day there was a big scar.
Mince burn.
Was it still, was the pie still there in the morning or did you wipe it?
No, I finished it off.
You did, yeah.
Steak and kidney. I was hungry. Chunky steak.
Nah, just a plain old mince. Cheapo one, mate.
Pie scar.
Does hair still grow there? Or is it?
Nah,
is there
mate,
a patch?
Nah, I'm hairless anyway, mate.
Land. Jace, did you ever see Police 10-7 from New Zealand when that cop told the bloke who bought a pie from the hot box at the servo, their semi-nucleic? Don't just take it easy on that.
Nah, I haven't seen that one, mate.
Meat lava.
Has it ever impressed a girl, Jace, when you've taken the gear off and pre-jumping into it and you're going, what is that?
You're kidding, mate.
That's me pie scar.
Corey from Arana Hills, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got a really cool scar story that I'm going to be jealous of?
Probably. I don't know about cool, but I was in my young 20s at the time and I was watching that Patrick Swayze movie. You know the one where he goes around, gets in the pub fights and staples himself up?
Roadhouse.
That's
it. Oh, God.
That's one. And he's stapling himself up and stuff. And then, lo and behold, my wife went and booked me in for a mole scan. So I rocked up to the mole scan and they found one on my shoulder. Yeah. They said, oh, it's nothing dodgy, but I'd get rid of that just in case. So I said, yeah, do that.
Skin cancer is not cool, Corey.
He goes over with the needle to numb it down. I said, I don't need that, mate. I don't need that. I've just watched Roadhouse. I'm good.
Tough.
And so then he got a scalpel and cut it out, and I peed myself.
Listen.
So what's more embarrassing, the emotional scar of wetting yourself or from refusing pain relief or the actual scar from having a mole cut
depending out? Depending on how I'm telling that story, sometimes I may change a little bit of and leave a little bit out, you know what I mean?
Bit
but of GST. I got about 1.5 centimetres on my shoulder to this. I'd even have a tattoo over it to try and hide it, and it's still there.
Ever heard those stories when I had a mate of mine fractured his collarbone and he had a big tat there, and of course when they put plates in, etc., you lose skin. The tattoo is not connected up together anymore. It's got different stuff, like a jigsaw puzzle with missing pieces. Incredible. Alex from Acacia Ridge, what happened, mate?
When I was 13, I crashed into a tree on my motorbike, knee first. Cracked my knee in half, whole thigh bone pushed straight out of my leg.
Oh, yucky. Proper.
And now I've got a 200mm scar running down my thigh.
Yuck.
What I can't remember it.
I mean,
very rarely will I ever say, let's go back to the bloke who pissed himself. Yeah. But this one has really made me uneasy.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Guys, I've been called a lot of things over my 35 young years of life. But hippie wouldn't be up there with one of them. But I think I'm going to become a self-proclaimed hippie. Are you allowed to call yourself a hippie, or is that a name someone else gives you?
I think it is. I haven't seen you wear a lot of seersucker, you know, the old tablecloth material. I haven't seen you in one of those skirts.
Let me give you some examples of why I think I'm a hippie, and then you tell me whether or not you think I am. Yes. So yesterday I was up at the shopping centre and I went past a shop called Karma, Living Karma, or I don't know, Karma
with
something
K,
or other.
It smelt correctly.
It smelt pretty, K-A-R-M-A, and it smelt pretty. So I thought, it smells nice. I'm going to go in there and check that out. Okay. And it was like a rock crystal can. Diffuser,
aromatics.
Healing shop. They had tarot cards and spell books. And I was like, oh my gosh, this shop's so interesting. I bought crystals. I bought candles. I bought cleansing sticks to cleanse negative energy.
What's that look like? What do they look like?
It's
are they just sticks that they're ripping you off?
It's a big wad of sage, basically. and you burn it, and then you put it a smoke through your house, and you say a little prayer.
How much does
to
becoming
yourself?
A hippie cost these days?
Yeah, I know.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
But I'm currently wearing my.
I'd like to put this hippie starter pack on my American Express card, thanks.
I'm a hippie starter pack.
I'm currently wearing. I hope it doesn't look like I have four nipples because I'm wearing rocks in my bra. I've got these two rock crystals that she said would be good for me because I want to clear some negative energy.
I'm going to look. Hold on. I can't see clear.
Here.
No. Up there. So you're wearing black.
There. Mm.
Yeah, black hides nipples. No, don't pull it down.
I'll get it out. Well, here. See, that's what it looks like. And that's a Dalmatian something or other. I can't remember. But I picked it because it's in the shape of a love heart. And it's supposed to bring love into your life and get rid of negative energy. So I bought that. Mm. I bought myself some lava beads and a little another stone bracelet and some oils. I've become a Terra consultant so that I can buy more essential oils.
Can I write some of these down? Hold on.
Yeah,
how do you spell Terra?
You write those down. I've just got to ask this. Margo, you say sometimes you worry about Bluetooth technology, yet you'll put pebbles on your boobs. What are you doing? The Big Breakfast. I don't have Foxtel, so I rely on KO Sports for all of my sporting goods. I love it so much. I watched Lance, the second and final episode. There was a two-part documentary. It's an ESPN 30 for 30 doco. Of course, everybody watched the Michael Jordan documentaries, the 10-part series. And some people thought Michael Jordan was a little bit mental.
You're talking about Lance Armstrong?
Lance Armstrong, seven-time Tour de France winner.
Yeah, 1999 to 2005, he won the Tour de France, which is a 3,400-kilometre bike race. He's incredible. He was my hero in the early 2000s, and then everyone said,
oh. I'm confused. What's 30 for 30, Nick?
30 for 30 is a documentary series by ESPN where they get top filmmakers to just pick whatever they want to make a documentary about.
Oh.
They've made one about Lance Armstrong, and if you thought Michael Jordan was mental and would do anything to win, Lance Armstrong said, hold my blood bag, Michael. I'll show you what it takes to be a proper champion.
Right? Did it paint him in a, because being a cyclist and especially that good, did it paint him in a poor light?
Well, it showed you feel bad for him at times and then other times you can tell he is just
good
a bit of a
psycho. Good person that did bad things or bad person that did good things?
I knew he was a cancer survivor, right? And he came back to win the Tour de France. So he had cancer, but he had, I thought he had cancer, but he had cancer. Like, he looked like Brian from the Siggy Packets. He wasn't looking well.
He had brain cancer, nut cancer, testicular cancer, and he had something inside him as well. Lungs as well. Yeah, he was gonski.
And then a year and a bit later, he wins the Tour de France. I can't ride my bike to the shops if I have a hangover, right? This absolute weapon won the Tour de France. Now, sure, he had a little bit of help and everyone was doping, right? They're all doping.
They all were.
Whatever.
Is it okay, though? If they were all doping, does it make it okay?
He had cancer. Mm. Have a sprinkle of some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Coming back.
Anyway, I saw this in the doco yesterday. He was giving a speech to his son's football team. His elder son plays college football at Rice University. Armstrong. Yeah, Lance Armstrong said this to the players.
This idea of work and process, quite honestly, that was my favorite part of the game. Whether it's diet, sleep, strength work, tactics, morale, I mean, all of this minutia, the small things, truly, truly matter.
He was talking about minutia and the small things there, but Margo, I think you'd agree. They made a weird cut in the middle of that speech, but don't worry, I've done some searching on the internet. I found the full speech because there were a few things that he did leave out.
This idea of work and process, quite honestly, that was my favorite part of the game. Whether it's diet, sleep, strength work, tactics, morale.
Steroids, EPO, blood doping, human growth hormone, testosterone, cortisone, saline and plasma infusions.
I mean, all of this minutia, the small things, truly, truly matter.
That was a big edit.
Truly, truly matter.
It's the minutia.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Margo, Nick, I watched more of The Voice than normal because I liked what I saw. There were judges not turning around at all. They just stood there like Easter Island statues and said, that person's an idiot. I don't want them. And it was great to see.
Well, they're getting to the end, Marto, and their teams are getting fuller and they need to be more careful with who they pick. And there was plenty of, I don't even know if this is a word,
Nufties.
But I'm going to say an endearingness last night on the show.
What?
I was crying.
Hold on, try one on me.
So
try one on me.
Listen to this little fella.
Oh, baby, all I need is one more chance. Won't you please let me?
close your eyes.
Jackson 5.
Just close your eyes and think, oh, not if you're driving, but...
No one turned around for him. No, but this was the part that got me in tears.
Nick, so no one turned around. They were steely face and they just sat there. And then when they turned around, what did they see?
They were confronted by this little guy.
My name's Dylan Micucci. I'm from Melbourne.
Incredible. Well, you had everybody singing along and clapping along.
Weren't.
I loved it. Tell me about yourself.
I suffer from a disability called muscular dystrophy. Oh. It makes my muscles a bit weaker than most people.
What made you go, I want to come and do the voice today?
I just want to show people that anyone with a disability can do anything.
It got me in the feels.
Let me read my notes. There's a little kitty in a wheelchair, and they were so guilty after that. I can't believe they don't have a producer in their ear saying, come on, someone's got to turn. You should see you'll be in a lot of trouble if you don't turn.
They prepped you for it, though, because, you know, they do that beautiful backstory where they, you know, they go to the parents and they talk about how hard and difficult
it
is for him, but he still gets out there and he gives it a go and doesn't let his disability hold him back. And I was just like, oh.
And those judges were so guilt-ridden that they all got on the stage and did a little dance around your little Dylan.
There was lots of dancing on the stage last night. The judges got up a fair bit.
They owed him big time because they made Australia, 88% of Australians watching the show would have turned for him and not one of those miserly judges did.
But I wiped away the tears, Marto, and I got on with it ready for the next guy who got me again.
I've loved them all.
What a song.
Out of all these friends and lovers.
Listen, we can't do this to our listeners. Pull that down. How many judges turned for this critter?
None.
So the judges weren't, their chairs just
weren't
working
turning
last
for anyone.
Night. Until this girl here, she decided to sing, I thought it was a hymn.
Oh, God.
Sing. It takes a while.
There we go.
All right.
So beautiful. What a voice.
Pull it out.
That sounds like someone singing it at the Super Bowl. That's sick.
Yeah.
A few planes should fly over.
She was so good.
Do you know what it reminded me of, Nick? What? Something else we've heard on the show before. Hallelujah.
Turn the chairs.
Which church are you thinking about going to?
That would have got a chair turn for sure.
And there
get a chair thrown.
She was a beautiful, beautiful girl.
She was really lovely. She was pretty girl, wasn't she?
Listen to this. But have you ever had to apologize?
Okay, what is your name, goddess in cream? Where are you from?
Angela Fabian. I'm from Brisbane. Sorry.
I'm from Brisbane. Sorry. Why sorry? Because you're not from Melbourne or Sydney. Yeah. Oh, that's our favourite. From now on, she is the only reason I'm having a show. I know.
That was a blubbering mess on the couch last night. That followed by Whitney Houston. Oh, Lord.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Wednesday, celebrities walking into where you work, either now or in the past, either in Brisbane or anywhere around the world. If you've got a celebrity, a rock star, a sports person, Kay McGrath, the former Channel 7 newsreader, if she popped in to get some donuts, what we're after.
We've got plenty of our own celebrities, sports stars, TV presenters, but we also have ones that come and visit from abroad.
That's right.
And you guys are running into them all over the place, it seems, because
we want to hear about it.
These are some of the examples that we've heard before.
Oh, I had a seafood business in Coffs Harbour, and Russell Crowe came in.
Oh, hey. Rusty.
All right.
At Pelican Waters Golf Club. I was a chef at the time. Alfie Langer actually owned the restaurant, and it was a Greg Norman golf club.
Oh,
and
God.
He actually designed it, and he turned up. I made them a steak sandwich and a hamburger.
Celebrities are just normal. They've got to eat. They've got to drink. They've got to get their cars fixed up.
Yeah, 133353. What celebrities come into your workplace?
We've had everything from Prince Charles, Neil Armstrong.
Bon Jovi one day.
Yeah, all the way down to, look, if you saw someone from Maths, we'll take it.
Yeah.
133353 is our number. Big names in your workplace. We're looking for the best story of when a celebrity came into a place where
the Veronicas came in to get some tissues. I was working at the chemist. Would that count?
Yes, that would count.
Absolutely. And we always want a character reference as well. What would they like?
Yeah.
If you were removing possums from Denise Richards' roof, that counts.
Oh, God.
The best story goes on our very short list of finalists to win the pub takeover at the Boundary this weekend.
Righto. If you've got a celebrity and you've been waiting forever to tell us, today's the day.
Today's 133353.
Hello, Nolly.
Hi.
How are you? You're from Pinkenba. Where were you working at the time? And who was it that you spotted?
Well, it was an awful long time. It was around about 30 years ago South Australia at a rehab and geriatric hospital.
Righto.
And I was nursing there, and we had a man who was the man because he was wanted everywhere. His name was Leroy Loggins.
Leaping Leroy Loggins, for anyone who doesn't know, at the entertainment centre out at the swamp at Boondall. Yeah. Oh, legend Brisbane Bullet. He's got a statue.
Was he?
Statue in front of the entertainment centre. Right, Nolly, so...
What was he doing there?
Was he feeling crook?
He was the orderly. And I mean the orderly, because...
Pushing the trolley.
He was massive. He was tall. And in those days, we didn't really use lifting machines. Everything was done what we called top and tail. So you had a nice tall man to take the top half, us little squizzy nurses to grab the legs and womp her out of the wheelchair and onto the bed or into the bath or wherever it had to be. But so he was the man because he was tall and he was strong. And it didn't matter who you were or where you were. All you ever heard over the intercom was, Leroy Loggins... Please return to Ward 2C. Leroy Loggins.
To do some more work.
All day.
Is this before he was famous or after he played basketball?
Well, he was obviously famous then, but I didn't know because I didn't know anything about men's basketball. Really? I had no idea who the 36ers were at the time. I mean, I'm saying it's Nolly, well over 30 years ago.
Is when he first came to Australia. He had to work as an orderly pushing trolleys to supplement his basketball income, and then he came to Brisbane.
Absolutely. And like I said, he was the man. I can tell you now, without him, we would have been lost.
Wow. And Nolly, he was a great bloke then because he's been a rock-solid human being his whole life.
Absolutely lovely man.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Nolly. Thanks, Nolly.
Wow, I love a Leroy. He was so cool.
Darren from Upper Coomera. Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Big name in your workplace. Where were you working?
Early 2000s, I was living over in London. We were working at some of the football over there, in the soccer, and it was all promotional work. After the game, we were in the players' tunnel waiting for to do our promotional stuff. And big David Beckham come running in and said, "Where's the champagne to be?" I said, "Oh, it's in the changing sheds." And he trotted on off.
Daz, how did he say it? Because the first time I heard him open his mouth, it surprised me. What did he say? Do it in his voice, please.
I can't, mate. It was very, very high pitched.
You want the champagne?
That was pretty much how it was. Yeah. And then obviously, old Posh was standing in the player tunnel as well, so only about 5 or 6 metres away from there. So that was for Manchester United. Wow.
Who are you more excited about, Posh or David Beckham?
Oh, it was a bit of a buzz to see both of them, you know. Yeah. Little boy from NZ and seeing all the big stars there.
I picked him being more of a spumanty man myself. But
just whatever, I've had a big game of footy, you feel like a champagne, don't you? Like, it's just all the time. Give me another champers. Aaron from Lowood, bring us home, mate. Where were you working?
Hey, mate. I work for Coles online on deliveries, and I was doing one day, and I delivered next door to Ash Barty, and she was outside.
Oh, my
God. I ended up having a good chat to her.
Hold on. What do you mean? So you pull into one driveway, you do your delivery, and then you go, is that Ash Barty? Where are we out at? Brookwater or somewhere?
Yeah, Brookwater, Augusta Heights there.
What was she doing outside? Was gardening, hosing the lawn?
She was just about to get in her car, and I stopped her.
What did you say to her, Aaron?
Oh, I just said, g'day, how you going?
And what did she say?
Darren.
Oh, I started off with, good. And then went from there and asked her how her day was going. And
was she pleasant, Aaron?
She was. She was also quite short.
Yes.
We know that she's a chunky athlete, a short, chunky girl.
You can't say that, mate.
Yes,
thank you, Aaron.
If you say short, fat, but short, chunky and powerful, yes.
Powerful.
We've got time for one more.
Rodney from Pimpama.
How are you going?
Yeah, good. Big name in your workplace, mate. Where were you working and who was it that you saw?
Yeah, it was in Canada at a ski resort, Sunshine Village.
Ooh,
and a lot of celebrities come in there for a ski week, but the big one was Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What a treasure. Yeah, what was your encounter?
He was incredible.
Yeah.
He's funny as, and just naturally funny, as everyone knows. But my mate actually got to go snowboarding with him because he's a big snowboarder.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What did your mate say he was like?
Yeah, unreal. Like, unfortunately, I had to work, but he went out snowboarding with him and, just chatted with him, snowboarded, and he was a brilliant snowboarder too, really talented.
my God. A very hairy man. He wouldn't have needed all the gear, would he? Because he would have... He was like a gorilla.
No, he's... definitely would have kept warm out there, that's for sure.
Biggest name this morning, everyone.
Yeah, that'd be it, Robin Williams. That's hey, Rodney, you said you missed out because you were working. I hope you're not working this Saturday afternoon because I think maybe we might put you in the draw to win the pub for the afternoon. How does that sound?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, that'd be sweet.
You are on our very short list of finalists. You and your mates could be taking over a whole pub to yourself, the Boundary Hotel.
I can't believe that. After Aaron had that conversation with Ash, you didn't give it to him.
You wanted to give it to
him?
How
you going? Yeah, good.
Should we pay for Scissors Rocket?
hey, Rodney, if you're desperate, in desperate need for a few hours out of the house, that is the idea of this. Yeah. Taking over the Boundary Hotel. Get your friends back together at the Boundary Hotel, West End's most iconic pub. Theboundary.com.au will announce the winner on Friday. You're in there, Rodney. Good luck and congratulations.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hit it, Dave.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.
Oh, it's been a while since I've heard that.
Thank you.
Hello,
some people's brains turned to mush during this lockdown. That was a while ago, Nick.
Yeah, a fair while back. Remember the world, a much simpler time. Coronavirus had only killed a few thousand people. We're in lockdown and we're enjoying the Tiger King.
Happy days.
Right. If you're driving along going, what are they talking about? About 7 weeks ago came out, the Tiger King. 8 episodes, I think there were on Netflix, and it was the world's biggest show at the time. And how would you describe
the memes and all the jokes and everybody was talking about it?
Joe Exotic, a gay, gun-toting redneck who owned a zoo with lots of tigers, a private zoo.
Offside mullet.
He's now in jail for 22 years for plotting to kill Carol Baskin, who we just heard about there. And Carol also owned a rival tiger park and they hated each other. She sued him for $1 million in some sort of civil suit, and it's just come through that that's been awarded. And
she won.
What you remember the husband, Carol Baskin's husband, looked
which
like
one?
Prince. The one who
she
looked
had
like
a
prin-
couple. The one she one fed
died.
To the tigers, or
she? Hold on.
Allegedly,
you'll get led. She's obviously on the trail. Did you say she fed her husband to the tigers? No, the one that's still alive that looks like Prince Charles. This bloke, he's announcing the decision by the court.
The ruling requires the entity to vacate the property within 120 days of service of the judgment, including removing the animals.
Joe Exotic Zoo has been handed to the Baskins.
She wants the animals gone as well?
Well, they're the thing that cost a lot of money to feed, I guess.
So what does she want the zoo for if she's not going to keep the animals?
No, the ruling says you need to vacate the zoo, including removing all the animals.
And she'll start... Well, you don't have a zoo then. All you got is a block of land cages on it.
But I reckon they'll go, well, we can't take the animals, so you have all the tigers.
Oh, they'll just leave them there.
Maybe.
Walk away. Well, that's called a walk in, walk out. Like, you know, some people sell their house with the furniture and just leave it there, and that's all yours.
Didn't end up being a very good thing for Joe
for
Exotic,
anyone.
Did it?
No.
Because he did a lot of things to try and just annoy her. Mm. And then she ended up coming back with like legal firepower because she was smarter, obviously. And she's just crushed him. Crushed little
smart.
Joe in her hand. Just
there
laughing.
He is in jail asking President Trump for a reprieve.
It's not something to hang your hat on, though, is it, Margo? I'm smarter than Joe Exotic.
No.
If you don't remember, here's a little walk down memory lane. Yes. I know it was only 7 weeks ago, but our brains don't last that long anymore.
Tiger King.
Thanks to Carol Baskin for dragging us all out of bed this morning.
Carol Baskin will soon take control of the zoo formerly operated by Joe Exotic.
It was all part of Carol Baskin's plan.
Now Joe Exotic's pissed off.
Oh, yeah,
he can guarantee goddamn I'm going to put a cap in your ass.
Carol, she sure loves you.
Before I'm done with this, I'm going to have the bitch's head in a jar.
We were that bored. We thought that was exciting.
It was amazing.
The Big Breakfast.
5 questions, and only one person will make it to the finish line and receive the ultimate bounty. It's the Big Breakfast's last person standing.
Always quick on the buzzer that at 8 a.m, our Big Dave. So we're going to get through them as quickly as possible. Greg from Everton Hills is joining us. Good morning.
I am. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hello, fellow Greg.
How about we get
question?
How
are you, Marto?
Yeah, good, mate.
How are you all?
Question number one underway before Dave buzzes you out.
Question one.
Which planet is named after the Roman god of the sea?
See you, mate.
Oh,
I'm bust you out anyway, Greg. Sorry, I was trying to help you get there. Tara from Birkdale.
Hi, how are you?
You've had time to think. Which planet named after the Roman god of the sea?
Neptune.
Well done.
King Neptune.
We've got a question two. We've got a live one here.
Mate, Marta, I'm going to need your help here on one of these names. I'm going to say the second and third one. Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth and Brooks
Koepka.
Koepka are all top 10 players in which sport?
Four.
Oh.
Sorry, Tara. We're back.
Hold on. Hold on. Greg's back. Greg, was that you before?
Different Greg. No, same Greg.
Well, come on.
Greg's not sure. Greg wants another crack because he felt like Dave was being unfair and didn't give him the opportunity. What sport is it, Greg?
Question again, please.
Ricky Fowler and Jordan
Spieth.
You can't
demand to come back and then ask for the question again, Greg. You've got to be listening.
Greg, don't give up,
mate. Gave you a chance.
Don't give up.
Mike from Cooperoo.
Golf.
Yes. Well done, mate. That's it. Straight in with the answer.
What about this for a question? Well done, Jack, our producer.
Question three.
Who's older, Donald Trump or spray-on tans?
I'm going to say spray-on tans.
Yeah. 1920s they were doing it. Donald Trump, born 46.
Mm. Question four.
It's all an illusion.
Name the billionaire that funded the breakaway Super League comp in 1997.
Kerry Packer.
No.
Sorry, Mike. We say goodbye to you, but we say hello, Tim from Castle Dine.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Who started Super League? Who funded it?
Funded it. I'm going to have to dip out on this one.
No, not Tim. Twiggy Forrest.
It wasn't Twiggy. Matt from Richlands. Who was it? Do you know the billionaire that funded the breakaway Super League competition in 1997?
Yeah, that'd be Lachlan Murdoch.
It's not, but so
he was
close.
Confident.
Well,
got close.
Yes. Michael from Daisy Hill, don't let that deter you because it was so close.
Half the answer was correct.
Yeah, I thought it was your dad, Rupert.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
There you go.
Go for the win.
Question five.
Oh, this is me, sorry.
Can we buzz her out? Like, Marto's asking this one.
I didn't realise how quickly we got to the end. I'm sorry, Michael. This is for the win. Question number five.
You know when Dave plays question five? That's when you chime in with question five.
Go again, Dave.
He's already done it once. Okay.
Name the disgraced businessman who was the former shareholder in Channel 7 and the Brisbane Bears AFL club. He had a pink house on the river at East Brisbane.
Oh, David from Brackenridge, bring it home, son.
Oh, mate, that's the hairdresser. What's his name?
No.
You were going to say Stefan.
Stefan.
He is not a disgraced businessman. He is a very successful businessman.
And that house, be careful, that house is salmon coloured more than pink.
Salmon.
But that was that
is
wasn't
it the same
that
colour
wasn't this
as the shirt
house.
That you're wearing today, Marto. That's
Richard
very
Richard from Seven Hills.
Pink.
Richard, do you know who it is?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Oh, mate, disgraced businessman.
He also built
the a few.
What's the fancy place down the coast opposite Fisherman, opposite SeaWorld?
Versace.
Didn't he build that?
He did a runner.
Yeah, and then he built Port Douglas. He built the bloody
there was a movie
Jim
about
from
it.
Jim Boomba. Bring us home. Back who is it?
He loved a durry.
Who am I? Am I on?
Yeah. No, you're not.
Oh, Cody from
Cody.
Bray Park.
Come on.
Hello, Cody.
Take us home.
Cody.
Do you know the question?
He went and lived in Mallorca, and that's where the media found him, and he was on a breathing machine, never came back to Australia, and he's dead now.
Christopher Skase.
There you go. See, lots of people got an opportunity this morning.
Yes.
That's how
we met a lot
works.
Of new people.
What a guy.
All of them hate us.
What a guy. All those clues.
Greg from Everton Hills, he had a couple of guys.
Cody, you're the winner. Congratulations. 6 months of KO is your prize. Footy's back, and KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you very much.
Cody, if you're like another Cody I know, you're going to love that KO, mate. Nick Cody's all over
it. Get enough
of it. Triple
M. I was going to do this at the end of the show. Nick, can I just take a second here? You were so kind. You know how my wife's making those toweling shorts? And as soon as you found out.
Team.towel.
You must have gone on Instagram.
I did.
And ordered some.
I
and
did.
Kath spotted it. And she went, why didn't Margot just ask you? And it's so nice of you to order them and try.
That's okay. I've got them right here now. Small business. That's what it's all about, Marta.
Can I do this on air? Because I've got your little Broncos bag. I've got three Broncos, and they are the cutest thing. Kath had never made a pair of kids' toweling shorts.
Well, I saw that there were lots for big boys, and I said my little boys would love a pair. What have you got?
And you're not, and you can't pay because I've been told you're a what is she, Nick? An influencer? So Kath said.
I'll take it.
I don't like influencers, but oh, no. I like you.
So you've got three pairs of shorts there.
Broncos.
Oh, my God, they're so cool.
I know. The Broncos.
My boys
and
will
Kath
love
said,
this.
Do it on air so everyone knows that she's making. They're just a silly little idea. But
hey, they're the coolest ever. They are towels made into shorts. They're terry toweling. We always
it's
see
what
you,
our life.
We always see you wearing terry toweling shorts. And you talk about your sister and your mum made them. And you
and
find old towels and you give them as gifts. And now she's making them out of towels for your team. And so we've got, we're the Broncos,
the gift was to not sing. Now charge her a double sing.
They're awesome, Marto. Thank you so much.
They are remarkable. And Kath said, give it to her on air and then you can talk about it. So,
yeah, do yourselves a favour. Team.towel.
How do you know this?
Because I follow on Instagram I see you always wearing them and I'm like, geez, my boys would love it. And then you said, oh, we only do big kids. And I said, oh, look, if you ever do little kids, I'd love a pair for Corey, I'd also love a pair for my two boys.
I am so proud of my wife. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
I might wear them.
So, yeah, they are. They're great jammies. They're a winter short. So proud of my wife. She left her job at the supermarket to start making these, and people are starting to like them. There you go. If you haven't got them, you're mad. You're crazy.
Very cool. Get on it.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M. Guys, earlier today I was speaking about Lance, the documentary that's just come out on KO, all about Lance Armstrong. So the second and final episode came out on Monday night. It's an absolute belter, right? But there was a part of the doco I was watching. His son, Luke Armstrong, plays American football at college, called Rice.
He must be all right.
Yeah, so he's called his dad in. Hey, Dad, come on, give him a fire-up speech. And Lance Armstrong has gone along, and this is what he had to say first of all.
I'm proud of all you guys. I'm obviously proud of number 48.
I'm proud of all you guys, proud of number 48.
Oh, his son.
Singled him out.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And he's gone ahead and he's helped fire up the team.
What do we say? What do they say here at Rice? Like, you know, what's the battle cry?
Rice fight never dies.
Rice fight never dies. So it's not like whoop whoop.
You say Rice fight, they'll respond to you.
Rice fight.
Never dies.
Rice fight.
Never dies.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks, boys.
Wow.
So he's firing the boys up.
He didn't do his
yelling their thing back. And then he has a word with his son, Luke, afterwards. And Luke points out something that his dad, Lance, may have gotten wrong.
Your mom's coming.
Yeah.
And your grandparents.
And I'm 35 for the scrimmage.
Not 48?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Did he get his number right?
Oh, that's
great. So some kid thinks, gee, Lance really likes me.
He's like, I'm number 35, Dad.
What?
Who that 48 kid is you're talking about?
You kids all look the same.
He's embarrassed his kids in front of the mates. I've got to know, when did you embarrass your kids?
Think about
it. I want to know, because Lance has thrown his son under the
bus. Mum's leaving toilet paper trailing behind their skirt.
Oh.
Dad's in crap cars doing school pickup. Is
dancing,
that what you're after?
Daggy mum dancing.
Now, he said, I'd like to wish 48, but he actually said, Dad, I wear 35. That's Can I just check with Lance Armstrong? I'm going to watch this. Did he have four kids?
He's got heat.
Yeah, I think four.
With one testicle. He's not bad.
He had brain cancer. Like, give the guy a break, really. I forget my kids' names half the time, let alone what number they wear on the footy field.
Well.
Dale from Beenleigh, though, have you embarrassed your kid?
Yeah, I try my best. I'm a concreter, and our standard uniform in the morning is socks with thongs, or jandals, as I'd say, in my hometown.
Yes, yep.
And if I get an early mark, I'll pick him up from school. He's in grade four at Mount Warren, and I'll make sure I wear my thongs and jandals.
Dale,
and socks pulled up right.
Yep, with duct tape holding them up.
Is it your life's work to embarrass your child, Dale?
Look, he's not been a great sleeper in his 9 years so far, so anything I can get back, I will.
Oh, that's super. It's a way of exerting control, embarrassing your kids. Great look, the footy socks with thongs, though.
Adam from Norman Park seems to be a bit of a theme here. Did you embarrass your kids, Adam, or were you embarrassed?
No, it was actually one of my real good mates. His name's Will, and we were playing footy. This is years ago, and we still rip him for it. His mother's got a loud voice like yourself, Margot. Mm-hmm. And
hey,
thank you.
Don't give her
thank
a complex.
You,
she's unaware, Adam.
Oh no, she'll embarrass again. She's all good for that.
Yeah.
But no, he's Will, and on top of her voice, he's been smashed, and she's gone, leave my little Willie alone.
Ah, oh. Oh, good work.
Good one.
Don't kids love being kissed by their mothers when they're older than seven?
Oh, I love licking. I do the licking of the face. You've got something on your face, come here, and they're like, oh, yuck, your breath smells.
We're on the school bus once. My mate just got on the stop. Driver drives about 100 metres, slams the brakes on, starts yelling, front door opens. My mate's mum gets on the bus. He'd forgotten his lunch.
No.
And she's cut the bus off to give him his lunch.
Oh,
and still, lunch boy. You just got called lunch boy. Lunch boy and lunch mum.
That's the day you find a new school.
It's a big breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
All right, there you go. That's it for today's catch-up podcast. Wednesday, the 3rd of June. 2020. We are live on Brisbane's 104.5 Triple M Monday through Friday, 5:30 till 9 in the morning. You can get in touch with the show at any time. Social media is a good way to do it. Triple M Brisbane, just look it up. Or 133353 is our phone number. We will see you when we see you.